I think that's very difficult for us as women, as mothers, as entrepreneurs, to really find the time to have a true rest. And, you know, as Christians, you know, God wants us to do that. He asks us to rest, but in our culture, it's just very difficult.
Hello, I'm David Mills. Welcome to Still Processing, a part of the Founders Table. I'm wired to touch the world like Jesus. As someone who is apostolic and evangelistic, that means I'm passionate about getting people on mission and helping them take new steps toward Him. I love to live on the margin between the church and the marketplace. And I'm joined by Amy Alexander.
Hey there. I love seeing people inside and outside of church empowered to be on mission every single day. I'm gifted to display Jesus to the world as I teach what's true and shepherd people in their journey. These Still Processing episodes are designed to help you continue chewing on the ideas, truths, stories, and conversations you had during your weekly foundation session. In a world where answers are a Google search away, we recognize that time spent in community and time spent with Jesus brings about deeper, more meaningful revelation. So let's dive in and process together. Hey, everybody. Welcome to week 6 of Still Processing. This week, we watched that heart-wrenching video of that poor couple on the verge of divorce. That one always gets me at the beginning, but it's also such an inspiring story. And so we're just going to process together. What does it mean to feel broken as you keep going? And what do we do with feeling disqualified? All the things. Today we have as a guest, Melissa McGregor, who's a local entrepreneur. And Melissa, why don't you just introduce yourself and tell us like a little bit about your entrepreneurial spirit, your drive, your call?
Well, hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Good to be here. Yeah, as Amy said, I'm Melissa McGregor, and I have been dabbling in entrepreneurship for most of my adult life. And that began as a wedding designer, and then I kind of got into health and wellness and as a coach. And more recently, God has kind of brought me into the world of writing. And so that's kind of where my focus is right now. He's kind of got a cool little project on my heart here recently. That's in the very beginning stages. So I don't even know what it's going to look like, actually. But he's just, I have been had that entrepreneurial heart, I think, probably all of my life. I even remember as a young girl saying, you know, that I wanted to do interior design and have my own business. And so, as you can see in some of that introduction, there's a lot of, you know, I'm also creative. So that has kind of streamlined through, coinciding with that entrepreneurship. So that's kind of where I am now. I'm kind of like a little bit in limbo, but God is always kind of changing those things and going with it.
Isn't that part of the deal, right? To be in these transitions. And, you know, we always know an entrepreneur because they say they always have an and. And you have a lot of ands, Melissa.
I do have a lot of ands.
Yeah.
And our listeners get it. They're not like all the other people you have to try to explain why your answers. Why is your answer confusing and weird? Oh, you're an entrepreneur. I get it.
Yeah. I love
nice
that.
Nice to be in the tribe. Yeah. Yeah. So I actually am interested to talk a little bit about this new idea you have, because like one of the things we can process together is just this world of, it was my time wasted? Was I spending my time learning skills that are going to be useful? Like that's one of the keys in that video and in that discussion. He says something so good about God doesn't waste time. And your journey, as you said, has been in all these creative outlets. And so recently you felt the Lord say, hey, this is how it all comes together, which is like the dream. Like that's what every entrepreneur is hoping, that all their years of listening and paying attention and trying to walk in obedience will lead somewhere that has clarity and makes sense.
And so before she answers, I just want to add one thing. So when we start to see ourselves as kingdom entrepreneurs or as people that God has called on mission in the marketplace, we add a whole other layer to this, right? It's not just that the business ideas come together. It's like all these God ideas come together. And so we know that not only will we do something that's like viable and sustainable, but it also will be impactful, right? Because that, to me, that's really what I'm after, is where these things come together with a, like, what's the spiritual impact? And I want to make sure that it actually works as something that I can keep doing. So,
yeah. So I have kind of had a lot of different things happening where God has just brought me through and a lot of different changes. As I said before, I started out, well, I guess even going back to where I officially started as an entrepreneur, before that I spent as a little girl, I wanted to be an interior designer and I wanted to have my own business. I wanted to be able to raise my family and, you know, be able to do both. So that actually ended up transforming into not interior design, but actually wedding design. And so, interestingly, the time that I decided to start that, in the same year I got pregnant with my first son. So that was very difficult as for us as a family, and it wasn't sustainable for us, unfortunately. It was really difficult for me to give that up, but I really had to at the time. And that's what actually kind of led me into the health and wellness, because I was like, okay, now what do I do? And I really felt, you know, as the topic today, like I felt like that brokenness and that grief of having to give that up. And so I kind of ended up just working on my personal self. And that's where I kind of landed into health and wellness and found that there was a spark there as well. And so I ended up, you know, after a personal transformation, getting into, you know, really a desire to learn more so that I could help other women like myself who were moms with young children and maybe struggling to be able to, you know, really kind of take care of themselves or, you know, be healthy. And who really, even way back then, just thinking that it was like a generational thing, right? I wanted to teach my children healthy habits as well. And so that's kind of where it ended up. And so it was very different than the world of wedding design, right? It just, and I was like, Lord, how does this, like, in my heart, I felt like there was some connection there, but didn't know how to explain that to the world. And I didn't know really how it pieced together. And then, you know, as I was going through that journey, you know, he kind of brought me into being transparent. So I started writing about my experience through this health and wellness journey. And again, like I said, you know, really kind of focusing on that more recently rather than the coaching. So still doing that just in words, right? Rather than a face-to-face coaching. And again, it seems kind of a weird transition. But more recently, again, like you said, Amy, that these pieces of life, how do these all fit together? And, you know, going through your calling cohort, it just kind of sparked this new idea that the Lord kind of inspired me. One of the things in health and wellness that I do spend a lot of time in, that I've learned through my own experience, my own struggles and my own health, was learning how to rest. You know, as a mom, I'm a homeschooling mom of two kids. And so trying to be an entrepreneur and a business owner, like, that takes the toll. And so that really became like a huge, the Lord just really put that topic on my heart. And so this new idea sparked creating an environment for women and helping them, teaching them in a very a different way in creating retreats for them. So it's not like a retreat of, you know, that involves any teaching. It would actually be very little teaching, but more creating a space for women to experience like a Sabbath rest and what it means to have Sabbath, right? Those, I think that's very difficult for us as women, as mothers, as entrepreneurs, to really find the time to have a true rest. And, you know, as Christians, you know, God wants us to do that. He asks us to rest. And, but in our culture, it's just very difficult. So this is kind of a new idea. I don't know what it's going to fully look like yet, but yeah. It's definitely something that's on my heart because I've just talked over the years with so many women in different areas. And I'm not talking about even just moms of young children. I'm talking about all different stages of life. I've talked to many women who are in stages where they are even older than myself, and maybe they're taking care of aging parents, and that takes a toll on them. I've talked to women who are not moms at all, but maybe they serve the community in different ways. Maybe they're teachers or nurses or, you know, whatever. And so they're still caring for people. And so they're still in that place of depletion, right?
Yeah.
So that's a little bit about
it's cool. It's very cool.
God's doing.
Yeah. It's such a great idea. I know. So just really quickly, but I do want to say something about your idea. But it was cool to listen to you tell that story because there's so many of us who have been in those places where you're like, what you're telling me to do doesn't make sense. Or where I'm being called, this new space I'm being called into seemingly doesn't connect. And actually, Dave, you have a very similar story in terms of the wild jobs and the wild careers you've had that all have lent themselves to something that all connects.
Well, I've never been a homeschooling mom, and I've never had, you know, but
well, let me just say real quickly, for any women listening, I know this will appeal to them because I have talked to so many women who are like, they go to a baby shower and they don't want to play the games and they don't want to do the things. And so when they're invited to a women's retreat, they just are like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to come back more exhausted than when I left. So I love it. I think it's great.
Well, and I think that, you know, it speaks to the culture, even the Christian culture that we're in. You know, we think that information creates progress, right? If we know more, like we know more Bible stories or we know more Bible facts or whatever, that creates change. But if we think about even the video that we watched with this couple, you know, it wasn't, and David said in the video, hey, it wasn't like we didn't go to a Christian concert and get saved, or we didn't go to an evangelistic meeting. It just happened like in this old torn down house, or happened in the doctor's office for her, you know. And I think that there's this reality that the things of God, like they happen in real life. And that's why it's so important that as entrepreneurs that we understand that like all the spaces are sacred. Whether you're in a janitorial business and you're pushing a broom or hiring people who do, or you're doing wedding planning or whatever it is, those are all places where the Holy Spirit wants to show up. And we all have these journeys. Like we don't know, and as Amy said, I could tell you lots of stories about all the things I've done. I made a list the other day of all the things I've planted, you know, all the things I've started. And they were all good, and all good things happened through all of them. But they all don't necessarily make sense until the Lord puts it back together in a way that only He can, you know, because it's almost like He can see bigger than we can.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I even, like you read the New Testament, and I don't know why this has only just dawned on me. It's probably going to be very old information to lots of other people, but recently I've been noticing all the places in the New Testament where it essentially says, all that mystery that's been happening for the Israelites for hundreds of years, it's finally been revealed.
Yeah.
And so this is the way He operates, you know, like he operates in this very, it's like mystical and mysterious and takes time to discover. And we have lost, I think, even the joy in that joy in just the mystery.
It's also, so it's like He does that in the context, not only is it a mystery, but it's also in the context of flawed, limited human beings, right? And so in the story we watched in the video is like about this terrible situation that they're in, the marriage is falling apart, you know, there's all kinds of negative stuff happening, drug addiction, affairs, all this stuff's going on. And in the middle of it, in the middle of like raw humanity, which is what we all have, and journeys that don't make sense, He still shows up. And He turns like our mess whether it's a big mess or a small mess, I don't think it matters. You know, he turns it into something amazing.
What have you been processing, Melissa? What's on your mind, top of mind, after all this?
I think just what you said, Dave, just looking back at all those years and the messiness and just not really knowing exactly what God was doing, but just kind of plugging along, right? And just kind of looking at what was in front of me at the time and often feeling broken, right? Like I said, there was a fair amount of grief, I think, having to give up the business that I really loved. And fortunately, the Lord had brought some of that work throughout the years. Like, he brought people that in my church or family or whatever, and I've been able to dabble in that. So I think even in that, he blesses, even though it wasn't sustainable as a business, like, because it was truly what was in my heart, like, you know. And was it my purpose? I'm not really sure, but it was definitely a desire, I think, that he gave me in that time. And just working through that brokenness. But I don't know, just, it's just so cool how he just redeems that and he uses it, right? And sometimes it's for a time. And I don't know, it is a beautiful thing, even though, you know, it's so hard to experience struggle and brokenness, but it's also beautiful to see where God takes it and how he uses that. And I've often thought, like, okay, he transitioned me so many different times and just so many different things. And then now to see this pieces come together, you know, even though I don't know fully what it looked like, I do know, like, he's going to bring in this experience that I had as a wedding designer, planning these events for women, these retreats. And then, you know, I'm carrying out that voice of, you know, just bringing wellness to women's lives and speaking into them a little bit through that. And again, there's some kind of ideas and plans brewing in that where I can actually, you know, write resources and stuff that they can use in that duration of that restful period for them. So,
yeah,
it's just really cool how God kind of is connecting those dots and all those things that he put me through, that it's coming to fruition. Even going through the journey of the health and wellness, I actually struggled a lot in my own health. And that's how I learned a lot of what I was coaching about, is through my experience. It wasn't, you know, I got the certifications, I did the courses and things like that. I did do that. But I learned more in the struggle and the broken of my own self and my personal struggles, so that I could speak into in a very vulnerable and transparent way into other women's lives. And so it was through that brokenness of myself. And it's difficult, right? It's so difficult to be in that struggle and be like, Lord, you're going to use this. And I knew that he was, you know, but it doesn't make it any less hard.
Yeah, really. Faith that he will, and then actually experiencing it are different things.
Right.
But you said something earlier about feeling broken. I have felt that way. I'm curious how many people, as entrepreneurs, because we have such weird ideas of success and we have such terrible secular examples of what entrepreneurial success looks like, every time there is failure in an entrepreneurial venture, especially one that God called you into, I mean, I have felt that many times, that feeling of like, What is wrong with me? Why am I not a revenue building machine? Aren't I, as an entrepreneur, aren't I supposed to be amazing at that? And over a lot of years, there's just so many different kinds of entrepreneurs, and we all have different skills to bring to the table, but they just, not everyone's actually built. Like, I do not have the skill sets inherently required to be really great at building revenue engines. I'm way better at sustainability. And so anyway, just that feeling, even that feeling in it, to be in an entrepreneurial space with entrepreneurs and feel like even there you don't belong. But how many others feel the same way, you know?
Well, yeah. Like we think about our journey and we look at the outcome, like we look at the outcome from a worldly perspective. Yeah, that didn't work like I thought it would work. Or yeah, that didn't produce the thing I thought it would produce. But if you read the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus said is the people who are actually living the good life are the ones who are humble, they're meek, they're mourning. And when people start to criticize you and say bad things about you, then you should be especially happy. So what should be happening, like if we understood God's way, instead of moaning about, okay, God, why didn't that work? Or how come the pain of that is, like, I thought I would be rich by now or whatever you thought would happen. We should be saying, thanks, God, that you're putting me right where you want me because you have something better, right? And so if you even think about the story of the Marshes, you know, what he had for them was way better than what they thought. And that's hard for us to get our minds around because we think we know what's better for us. You know, we think we have a better plan. But in the end, we, by the way, we're really glad that you had that wedding design experience because you really helped out at the founders table to make it really amazing. And we've now got amazing pictures about what it needs to look like for it to be a great experience. So thanks for that, you know. But in the end, he has something better for us than we can even think or imagine or dream of. And it, like our little human brains, we don't understand that we don't understand. We think we have the right plan, you know.
Doesn't he say something about being like $99,000 overdrawn and $1.5 million in debt or something like that? That feels pretty much insurmountable.
Yeah.
You know, when you just look at the hard, cold, hard facts. But I think a lot of us have been in those situations, maybe not that drastic, maybe that drastic. But for a God who has unlimited resources.
Yeah.
It's no problem.
But that gives us a different perspective on what beauty is and where beauty comes from. We think beauty comes from being perfect or having all the right ducks in a row. And then we put on airs, right? We pretend that we're perfect. In reality, that's not God's recipe at all.
Yeah. We were just in a meeting with some pastors talking to them about Founders Table Network. And I said, look, they were asking, are there really that many entrepreneurs in our church? And I'm not totally sure. And I said, they're hiding. Here's why. They're all terrified you're going to ask them the question, how's business? They're all terrified of that question. No one wants, when you say, how's business? Often the answer for so many of us is like, it's okay. I'm kind of making it from month to month. Actually, I desperately need clients. Actually, I feel like everything I try doesn't work. I mean, you know, most of our honest answers, and sometimes that's not the answer, or for some people, I think, that are truly skilled at revenue engines, that's probably not the answer. But for a lot of us, a lot of anxiety comes from people really getting past that wall. And so in church settings, we often just hide. Like, we just don't talk about what's going on at our desk because that's embarrassing, you know?
And we glorify that, right? We glorify the 1%ers who invented a potato gun and got rich on the internet selling the plan for it, right? or whoever you put on your list. And it's an artificial measure of what life is supposed to be like. And
yeah,
there's something deeper for us, you know?
It's good. What else are you guys processing?
It's a constant struggle. I mean, it's a constant struggle to keep your mind right. Think about this stuff right and not think about it upside down, you know, but think about it God's side up instead, you know?
Yeah. Amy, I think you're absolutely right about the question. I know I've definitely experienced that. Like, in all honesty, like, truth be told right here, even though I've been dabbling in business, I say I'm dabbling in business because I don't know that I've ever been able to fully build a business to say I have been profitable.
Sure.
And you're right. It's because that mindset of our culture of if there's no profit, is it really a business? And I know that's the question that has often come to my mind, you know, and I think that's part of the that struggle we're talking about here and that brokenness too, right? Because if we can't get past that, it affects us moving forward. And so I know that I've definitely struggled with that, you know, like, okay, oh, I'm calling myself an entrepreneur, but am I really? You know, do I really, to the world standards, do I really fit the profile of being an entrepreneur? And so, yeah, that's definitely one of those difficult things that I've had to try to process through. And have I figured it all out? No. Obviously, I said, you know, I feel like I'm in another transition, and, you know, in some ways feeling like I'm kind of starting over. But
now that is hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Feeling like you have to start over again. You know, Lord, I don't want to start over again. I just spent my 10,000 hours learning this thing. Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, even if you do have success in one area, there's always growth that you're looking for. There's always more that you wanted. Or, you know, maybe you're really good at one part of business or one kind of business, but you really wanted to have the other kind of business, you know, so I think it doesn't matter whether we have some arbitrary measure, but I do think that we're always going through these transitions, you know. And also, I like shiny new things. Like, I absolutely do. I'm not talking about technology toys. I like new ideas that can become something. Like, I love that. And so sometimes we're in a stage where we just have to keep doing the thing we're supposed to be doing before we can do the new thing that we want to be doing, you know?
That's good. The other big topic, especially in the journal, was really, so there was that feeling of being disqualified, but also that feeling of holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness, either at yourself or other people. And I don't know, I haven't personally experienced a deep entrepreneur-related betrayal. I've been on the periphery of them, but I haven't personally experienced them. But I know, Dave, you have, and I don't know if, Melissa, you have, but whether you're dealing with forgiveness of someone or self, I think, I don't know. I mean, there's stuff to process there, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it goes two directions, right? You have to forgive yourself. And so I'm going to say that differently. I don't think we forgive ourselves. I think we actually just receive the forgiveness that God gives.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, we don't have permission to forgive ourselves. Yeah. We can try, and people even teach you to do that. I don't think it's right. I think that it's about receiving forgiveness. So I think you have to apply the forgiveness to yourself, and you have to apply it to others. And sometimes it's easier to apply it to others. It's more external. But then applying it to yourself and not walking around under that cloud of whatever, of that shame for the rest of your life, is hard. It's really hard, you know. And when you bring in entrepreneurial stuff, sometimes people rip you off. And I've definitely had people rip me off more than once in the entrepreneurial space in big ways. And that can be very devastating. And you can end up being bitter, you know, for a long time about that. And there's real damage done by it. It's not like it's just artificial or it's just you hurt my little feelings, you know. It's actually more than that. It creates damage in your life, in your business, in your finances. And so not only you have to forgive them, but you also have to ask God to restore what it is that was damaged by someone else, you know? And so you live with that as well. And so you combine the damage of what was done to your own shame about your own shortcomings, and now you're just miserable.
Yeah. Well, and then if we add like another layer, which is really forgiveness of church. I think a lot of entrepreneurs have a very specific kind of church hurt. Almost anyone who's been in church for any amount of time has some level of church hurt. But entrepreneurs, I think, often have a very specific kind in terms of being really seen and valued for our unique skills and our unique callings. And so even like in the journal, there's that link to that song, Manasseh. And that song has really ministered to me over the last couple of years, because it talks about God helps us forgive and he redeems it, and all like all the things we've been talking about. I mean, that is the God we serve, but it does take, I don't know, intentionality to open up those wounds and say, Lord, I need you to like deal with it because it's tender and it hurts, you know?
And the question you have to ask is, are you in a community of people who are being authentic about this stuff? Or are we in, you know, the business world is pretty plastic. We have our beautiful LinkedIn profile. We have our all of our happy pictures in Facebook, except for those who like to really complain, which I think is a big mistake. Air their dirty laundry. Don't do that on Facebook or Instagram. So, but we have this plastic persona that we put out there. Everything is great. Nobody wants to hire someone who's a louse, you know, or miserable or a failure. Mm-hmm. So who do we be transparent with? Who do we actually talk about what's really going on? And so typically that gets reserved for the like therapy room or something. But really, we need to be in communities of people where we all can talk straight about what's really going on and what's hard. Also, as you think about it, we not only do we put on a fake persona for others, we actually pretend that we're not in pain. And we just walk around in pain, but pretending we're not, just ignoring it. When instead, we should just be transparent with those who are safe in the body of Christ, and we should be transparent with God, just like David was, say, God, this is horrible. I hate this.
Yeah.
You know?
What are you talking about? I never suppress my feelings.
That's good.
I'm kidding. I mean, speaking of that safe place, I mean, the three of us, Melissa, you are my aunt. You are my husband's aunt. And so we, the three of us, actually go back a lot of years. And we have had some of those really transparent conversations around, you know, how is the church perceiving me and why am I unseen and like just all of those things. And those have been healing conversations, I think, because there is something damaging that can happen in those groups that can turn into, let's all get around the campfire and be bitter together regularly.
Yeah.
Right. Don't do that. But maybe listening to this podcast will remind you that you need to go find someone. Like if you haven't, go find someone that you can process with and then that can help you heal, right? That can help you move on and receive that healing from Jesus and make you feel like, oh, I'm not alone. Like I'm not a crazy person. This happens to other people too, but we move on.
Yeah for sure.
Yeah, what do we do if we have several, like I went through a period in our life where we had, I think we had three ventures, four, maybe five ventures in a row fail. It really wasn't our fault they failed, but how do you tell that story? What have you been doing for the last 5 years? Oh, I've been involved in failed ventures. It's been really so much fun. I mean, nobody wants to hear that, right? And so we can end up, instead of being in a healing community, we can end up hiding out and just living in that pain. And I think it's important that we're with people that understand that we're all on a journey and that really the place God wants us to be is in that humble place where we recognize that we are limited, flawed humans. And that's how he heals us, is when we get to that place of humility, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think as you were talking to me, but I was kind of just thinking of the journey that God has put me on. And, you know, I mentioned God kind of leading me into writing, and you guys were talking about like how hard it is to be transparent. And yeah, God brought me to a point, I think, in the middle of that journey where he called me to be transparent. And as I said, that was difficult as here I am, like a health and wellness coach, and I'm struggling with my own things, right? But it became a balance. And I think I tried to just press in to Jesus during that time and open up to that redemption, right? And being able to say, okay, look, be transparent. You know, I'm a person just like you. I'm struggling in these health things, but look what God is teaching me. I want to, and being able to be in a place that I can share that. And it's not an easy thing. It's probably one of the hardest things I've had to ever do, is bring myself, you know, through that and be vulnerable and be transparent. But I think what is so cool about that is that if we can kind of transform our minds to that pressing into Jesus for that redemption through those struggling things, you know, for me, it was for my health, but Dave, you know, like through, you know, like you said, failing in multiple ventures, I can even say that a little bit with myself, with the business, but just knowing that, okay, God is redeeming and being able to share that along with the struggles and being transparent about the struggles, but saying, look, this is what God is teaching me. And it isn't like, I think that a lot of people struggle with that. And it's definitely something that I've had to like press hard into in the learning process of what that looks like. I feel that is where the beauty comes out, right? Where we can be in a place, but, you know, even but speaking, Amy, what you talked about, like in church, even though I was speaking out into my audience or whatever, being transparent, I got to a place where I was a little bit comfortable with doing that, only because for me, it was just because I was able to use words, right? And I wasn't always on video or talking straight to people, but so that's where kind of it became easier. But I would meet in, you know, my weekly small group with at my church, and I wouldn't be able to talk about my job or what I was doing. And so, yeah, so it's really an interesting thing that we have to work through. Like you said, like sometimes there's just places where it's just really difficult to connect with people and for them to understand that entrepreneur side of, you know, what we're struggling with.
And we do need safe places to share. And like, you can't just go to your, if you have employees, you can't go to all your employees and tell them your problems. Right. You know, so there, you do need a safe place. Our hope is that the Founders Table groups are safe places where people can share.
Absolutely. And I think that's
But you need people you can trust where you can feel real. And also, like, if you're in one of the Founder Table groups listening to this podcast, like, your willingness to be authentic in that group and transparent will help others to do the same. Because everyone needs to be able to do this, be able to talk about the things they're processing through. So I think it's a gift, you know, to have enough faith that God's going to take you through, that you're willing to share about your weakness and not just holding on to a sign that says I'm perfect, you know? So.
Yeah. 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 This has been really good, you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing, Melissa. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we really appreciate you joining us and being transparent on that note. Awesome, guys. Well, we hope that you all continue to process, stay in your journal, go find someone to be transparent with. Remember to move out of bitterness and into healing. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.